Her hair is darker than he thought. When he first caught sight of her, it looked like copper wire. But now he sees that it has an earthy hue, streaks of auburn and chestnut brown. He's pleased with this subtle difference. He thinks it more sophisticated. The woman stands quite still before his desk, her hands loosely clasped in front of her, the suit jacket back on and buttoned. One button done up. So, if he hadn't seen her, just half an hour earlier, her body spread out in the field below, he would never have known.
"Maggie Nix,"
he says, to which she nods and smiles without showing her teeth.
"Please do sit down."
Kenneth Earle does not sit down. He walks to the window again and looks at the wheat field, then back into the room at her. He has interviewed three others this afternoon, has seen them all walk up the path, has waited while the rhododendrons lining the drive eclipsed and then revealed them again, counted the beat of their footsteps on the staircase. All three were unable to enter the room, to stand or to sit, without first saying something. What a hot day it was. Such a nice walk up to the house. What a magnificent room. And it is beautiful, Kenneth's office. Situated on the west side of the building, the two original windows give a sweeping view of the Berkshire Downs. The interior has plaster, crisp as snow, a few discerning antiques, a thick cream carpet underfoot. Maggie has said nothing about the room. She does not gaze up in wonder at the intricate ceiling rose, or admire the painted hanging on the wall behind Kenneth's desk. She sits and waits, and watches his movements with a clear, open expression. In the sunlight, she looks flawless, a study in oils. Her eyes are completely and unnervingly fixed on him.
"Can I get you a drink? A tea, coffee?"
he asks. She will have to say something to that. She begins to shake her head, and then an intake of breath. "A glass of water, please." From the closet in the corner of the room, he draws some water, walking back towards her, where he sees a bent stalk of straw caught in the curls of her hair.
"I'm afraid it's only tap,"
he says, expecting her to speak again. Kenneth watches her drink it, in quick gulps, like a child would drink, and then place the glass on the low table next to her chair. "Thank you," she says.